Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba House of Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro East Side.
And Eric Austin's here from Home Bridge Financial Home Mortgage. Happy weekend.
Happy weekend to you.
Yeah.
How you been?
Just good. Can't beat this summer. Last weekend.
Well, I could. I finally had to beat the heat in the last week.
I figured that out. Last weekend, I was clear out at CQ on the boat fishing, and it was completely socked in with fog and about 60, 65 degrees.
Well, you certainly the whole weekend dealing with it.
So we went, you know, fishing out in the ocean and and just 100% on radar, couldn't see anything.
Wow.
And but we found the fish. Oh my gosh, should we find the fish?
So well, awesome. Good
very,
for you.
Very productive trip.
I was trying to beat the heat in Andrews Bay on my boat, which was good because me and my dog were very much enjoying being in the water. And I mean, it was, you know, because last weekend it was so, so hot, right? And then this week it's been warm, not as bad, which I can deal with.
Yeah.
But man, when we hit those mid 90s and low 90s, woof, 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 woof.
I've decided I'm not complaining about any weather that's warm this year because there was spring. And spring was so cold,
right?
And
exactly.
So wet.
Yeah, I just can't handle heat
very
well.
I'm just happy with whatever we can get.
I love the sun. You know, but you know, it doesn't always love me back. So that was one of the other things. You know, like getting skin cancer. Not you know, not my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Yes, and I still ended up having stuff. Just even though I kept piling on the 50 while being out there, and it had shade covers and all kinds of things, and it's that reflection off the water still part of it.
It's double when you're on the water or in the snow. I had a group of Boy Scouts up once hiking up on Mount Rainier. We were snowshoeing and it was a beautiful sunny day. We're out making igloos. We do a trip every year and sleep in the igloos, and we had a couple kids, the insides of their noses
froze
and the roofs of their mouths got sunburned.
Oh,
because of the sun reflecting off the snow and up.
Ouch.
And apparently they were working with their mouths open. And that was a painful lesson.
That's a lot of mouth breathing.
We had the sunscreen out, but they didn't. Of course, they're rubbing their noses and doing all of that kind of stuff.
Owie.
So, but the water is the same. You know, it's reflecting up on you. And it's double. It's just double. It's, you know, so just got to be careful out there.
My dog's lucky with his fur. He's at least covered.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and even if it's a cloudy day, it doesn't matter.
Oh, no, I have to be super careful in all of that. That's actually when I got one of my second degree burns when I was a kid. So.
Oh, cloudy weather. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, out in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Visiting my brother at the Navy station. But,
that's good. Well, I'm still rocking back and forth from spending, you know, 3 days on the boat. And poor Ellie, my wife, you get out in the ocean and there's ocean swells. And so even on a calm day, the ocean's going up, it's going down.
Did she get seasick?
Oh, well, when you combine ocean swells with not being able to see anything,
you're
socked in fog.
Oh.
So there's no horizon.
Right, yeah. Let's not get anyone listening to this show possibly seasick while they imagine this scenario. Oh, but, poor Ellie.
And then I got on top of a school of coho, and we were hooking
them up. Oh, no wonder you did so
fast.
Well.
And I'm looking at her, and she's getting sicker and sicker, and I'm like, all right, we got to reel up. And,
poor thing.
And so... So we cut that excursion a little bit short, but fortunately the next morning the fog lifted and it was a beautiful day. And
did you get your count though?
Oh yeah.
Well, good for you. See, it all worked out just beautifully.
No, we did fine.
Everything did just fine.
Yeah, it all works out in the end.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful place out there. And even if you're not a boater, if you've never been out to, you know, CQ, Nea Bay, Cape Flattery,
Shy Beach is actually where I've been to by hiking.
Yeah.
By trail.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Washington coastline out there is just so breathtakingly beautiful.
Yeah.
It really is.
Super gorgeous.
I was fishing. I was getting followed by a bunch of puffins. You know, and that's one of my favorite birds. You know, they got the big, bright orange beak, and they're just a goofy looking thing.
They were following you?
Yeah, I think they're looking for treats or something. I don't know.
Oh, funny.
But a lot of birds will follow
too.
You. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, there's a puffin cereal. It's actually quite tasty.
Excellent.
Well, I haven't had it for a while, but I used to eat it quite a lot. Yeah. But so I'm going to do a little mini PSA, though, since we were both out doing boating activities and stuff and beautiful areas. Now, of course, in the city, right here in the, you know, Seattle area, so many of our towns, you know, come right on up to the Lake Washington shores. But there's not many places where you can anchor, as you know, and Andrews Bay is one of those places. So here's what I do want to mention for you people who are out there boating, blaring your music. I just, if you weren't aware of it, especially during COVID, the Seward Park neighborhood began a petition to try and shut down Andrews Bay as an area for anchorage.
Right.
So I want to remind anyone, if you know anyone who's a boater, or if you are a boater yourself and you go out there and you hear it, I actually saw at Park Shore Marina, where I keep my boat, there is a sign up and they are soliciting for donations to get extra coverage out at Andrews Bay to try and help monitor and keep it down so that we don't lose the right, because we could potentially lose it there. The ARBOA Association, Recreational Boater Association of Washington, is also trying to assist in PSAs to do this. And here's the thing. It wasn't just that it was during the day. Both evenings that I stayed overnight, two large boats, one of them looked like dudes with a midlife crisis who had some young things on board with them. Just four people total. But they made up enough noise to just ruin it for everyone else in the bay. And not only did they go past the 10 o'clock, you know, shut down for noise ordinance in Seattle, they went well beyond that. But then around 1:30 in the morning, they cranked it up again. And then one of the gals had a cry fest or whatever the thing happened, you know, emotionally on board. And then, so I thought, okay, the next night, I thought maybe, okay, Sunday night, it'll be peaceful, hopefully, you know, because it's always busy during the day, of course. Everyone's there with their kids and other stuff going on, and lots of personal watercraft. But Sunday night, I'll even name the boat, the All Star came out and had a raft up and a ton of people on board. Not only did they go super, super late, but they also cranked it back up around 1:30. And they were repeatedly asked to bring it down and chose not to. And that's the thing, is that it's people volunteering to speak up, to say, hey, could you please just follow the rules.
Like, not ruin it for everyone.
You're going to ruin it for everyone because you want one night of partying with a bunch of your 20-something friends.
Right.
So it just, you know, be mindful, because that was even one of the things. I had a friend with me on Saturday who said, I would never want to own one of the houses over here on the lakeshore. Well, and I can understand why.
And it's not just Andrews Bay. Funny you should mention that. We were having dinner with some friends who have built a beautiful home on Lake Taps.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like one of those infinity walls. The whole house opens up to the lake. It's this gorgeous setting. And they're selling. They're going to sell because they're sick of the noise. And
yeah, just because you get on a boat, like, noise travels farther.
Oh, it really carries
louder
on the water. These folks, there was a boat that came by. It was maybe a quarter mile away, half a mile away. And, you know, of course, music, you know, blaring. It's like they're right next to you.
Yeah. Oh,
and so my friend's like, you know, I wouldn't mind if they played good music, but
well, that's personal choices.
There is that.
But
yeah, it takes that. You think, oh, I'm on the lake, it's going to be tranquil and beautiful. And most of the time it is, honestly. You know, in the wintertime, there's not going to be a lot of that going on.
A lot of times it's great. But, I mean, there was even the first night, a gal on a boat, you know, she's trying to put her kids to bed. And she had to be shouting out to the other boat, like, hey, could you bring it? My kids are going to have a hard time falling asleep. And it was after 10 o'clock. I was like, could you please just, you know, bring it down? Like, not everybody likes your music choices, or, you know, if you have a house on the shore, like, you've got your own stuff going on. So it's just, you know, be polite, be kind, you know, Recognize you're not the only person out there.
Yep, absolutely. You know,
because at the end of the day, it's not just whether I was bothered. I kept thinking like the family with the kids, the people on the land, all the other boats that were still there. It's like, you know, you're going to ruin it for everyone. And that's such a fragile thing for us at the moment that it's really important that we all be paying attention to it. Yeah, so
that's right.
If you please help, you know, if you know people who do that, you know, just be mindful or bring it up and ask them to
be courteous.
Follow the rules.
Yeah. Just be courteous.
Yes.
And funny about that. Same thing in campgrounds.
Yeah.
Anytime people get out, you know, they're partying, they're out having fun and, you know, more power to them to do that. But be, just be respectful.
You're not the only ones out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's so many people.
You're not the main character. So let's just let that go.
Yeah. So I know people are probably like, is this a show about real estate? What are we talking about? Because we do talk about the lifestyle of the Pacific Northwest, and it is summertime, and we're just seeing these things that are going on. Because that was the other thing is during those major heat waves, people kind of lost their minds a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, and they were doing other things. I can tell you, real estate, while it still continued, it was a little quieter because during the heat wave, people were either in lockdown or they were going out to places where they could cool off or, you know, they didn't want to tour in the heat. I went out on one tour with one of our clients. But generally, you know, and I was asking around with other people in my office, like what were they seeing, experiencing with their listings. And generally it was kind of quiet during that time period. But I know we're going to get into kind of like the update, you know, it's early August. So we're going to be talking about what's the updates of, you know, rates and activity and things like that. And we are still continuing to see, even as we've gone into the beginning of August, a strong number of listings on the market and the impact that that has on sales and people's perceptions of the market and where it's going.
And I really want to talk about rates here coming up because the Fed hiked rates last week.
Right.
And mortgage rates fell.
Yeah. A lot of misinformation out there. So let's go correct some perceptions when we get back. More on Open House with Team Reba.
We're back. Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes here from Homebridge Financial Home Mortgage.
That's right. We're back. And this is Reba House from Team Reba.
And we are here every Saturday at 2 o'clock.
And Sundays at 3.
And always on podcasts.
Yes. Keep in mind, now that it's August, we have shifted.
Yes.
No longer on 1590, now on AM 1300.
Exclusively. We were simulcasting for a few months.
So if you've transitioned over with us, we want to thank you for joining us today.
That's right.
We appreciate your listenership.
And 1300 has a different reach than 1590 did, so welcome up north.
Yes. And south.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got a much bigger reach all around. So I'm very excited about that and looking forward to new people hearing what we are bringing to the station and information that's out there. So if you are new to us, we actually are coming up on our 7th anniversary of doing shows on air. So when we mention that we have a podcast, you can go find all of our past shows on your favorite, pod station.
That's right.
Whether it's iTunes or Spotify, Buzzsprout, you name it.
Just search Open House at Team Reba. Mm-hmm. You'll find us.
Yes.
Yeah. It's been fun. It's been a fun 7 years. Can't believe it's been that long.
I know.
Wow, that goes fast.
It's crazy. Well, I mean, you and I, just the amount of time we've both been in the industries is insane. I can't believe I now have been doing this where I could have a kid in college at the same age.
I'm so strange. I'm almost embarrassed now because I've said, I've been in lending for more than 30 years. It's like, I've actually been in lending for more than 40 years.
Oh, it's my frightening. Gosh. But you were just a wee thing.
Yeah, I was just a pup.
You were. You were a wee thing when you got in.
And
you had a whole head of hair then.
Yes, I did. And we did things on paper.
Same here.
I still remember hovering around the credit bureau machine that was this tractor-fed paper thing, and we'd order a credit report, and then we'd sit around and wait, you know, for the telephone modem. Mm-hmm. It'd squeak, squeak, squeak. And we'd sit there looking at that thing, looking at it, and pretty soon, you know, the tractor would fire up, and outward print our, yep. our credit report. You know, nowadays I've got that in about, I don't know, 30 seconds, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, the world has sped up.
Come a long way.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have.
It's been both good and bad.
That's right.
Right? It's been good in that we have efficiencies. Mm-hmm. One of the things I would say that's not necessarily so great is that it does allow for kind of what we were about to reference at the end of the last segment. It allows misinformation to get out faster, too.
Yes, it does.
And there's a lot of confusing information that's out on the internet nowadays, as well as loud voices. Because you have to remember, like, you know, you and I were talking on several of our past shows about, like, is there a real estate bubble, right? Like, are we going to have, like, the Great Recession? Which we already know our opinions on that. But I started thinking about that the other day. It's like, if anyone was typing in that into a search engine of, you know, real estate housing bubble, the thing is, they're going to pull up things that people are saying, frankly, erroneously right now. Mm-hmm. But then they're also going to pull up stuff from the past.
That's right.
And if people aren't paying attention to dates on things, they may end up, you know, filling their heads with things. It's like, hey, that's not quite accurate to today.
Absolutely.
That's not quite it.
Just go into YouTube or something and type in housing crash 2022. And it's Zillow says housing crash coming. The Fed's recession warning, prepare for economic collapse. You know, the biggest housing crash of our generation is coming. You know, surge in price
Whose
cuts.
Whose generation? Zillow's?
Well, that's the thing. You know, the economy is cyclical. It goes up, it goes down. And you know, we've talked about this a fair amount on the show about, mm-hmm. about you know, what we can expect looking forward. Right. And I'm not going to be one that says everything is rosy. It's not.
No,
far
it's not.
From it.
Yeah.
So, but what we want to do is give an accurate analysis of how does that impact us mm-hmm. in the housing market. You know, so the
everyone's real estate situation is unique. Mm-hmm. So you can't just put, you know, one broad stroke on everything.
Right. This week, the headline was that foreclosure rates are up 50%.
But that's from a historic low.
They're up 50% from last month, which is true. Last month was the lowest foreclosure rate that we've ever recorded. And we are 1/10 of what we were at the peak of foreclosures,
right.
you know, pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And there was a moratorium on foreclosures.
Right.
And the average person in the U.S. has 40% equity, 60% equity mm-hmm. in their homes.
Yeah.
So when you have equity in your home, there's really no reason, or yeah. very few, I'll say there are some, but there's very few reasons to go into foreclosure.
Right.
Because you can sell your home.
Yeah.
And you have equity there and you can make money off of it.
Right. You can make money off of it. And even if you end up having to go into a rental situation, you have all that money in the bank.
Right. And we have a shift in demographics. We have more mm-hmm. households being created now
yeah.
due to a bit of a population boom 30 years ago.
Yes.
And those folks are all getting out there. They're buying homes now. Mm-hmm. And we have a shortage of housing nationwide.
Yeah.
So as long as we have a shortage of housing, increasing household formation, mm-hmm. we're not going to see a housing crash.
No.
We'll see corrections.
Yeah.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I mean, we're going to see price adjustments.
Well, but here's the thing. You and I have been talking about this for such a long time. Okay, are we sad that everyone stopped getting 18 to 25% appreciation a year? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, a little bit, but was that sustainable?
No.
No.
Far from it.
What is normal? Let's compare that to what is average. 2 to 3%. People keep forgetting here in the North. Like, I have people, we're talking about whether or not we have to do price adjustments on listings. Mm-hmm. And the perception around the idea of, like, having to do a price reduction, it's like, oh my gosh, you've owned this house for 5 years and we were trying to sell it for twice as much money. Mm-hmm. That is not even a normal thing. You know,
no.
5 years to double the value of your home. It used to be on average, it took at least 10 years
yes.
to double the value of your home. So to be able to do that in half the time, you were just lucky in your timing. You couldn't have chosen to mm-hmm. do that. And one of these clients in particular was like, you were buying at that time for a particular purpose. And the fact that you're doubling your money in 5 years is a huge godsend for you.
That's right.
So to sit here and penny pinch it and everything else just really doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it just doesn't. So so read, please. Read. You know, read all the different opinions you can. Listen to our opinion. We happen to be the right one, but yeah, I always like to listen to opposing opinions, and then you can try to understand, okay, what are the reasons that they're saying this? Don't just stop at the headline.
Yes. Because
the headlines are designed to generate clicks.
Yes. They're clickbait. That's right. Want to sell you ads.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about rates.
Yes. So, where are we? Do we have any clickbait on rates?
Sure. I did that just before the break. I did a little teaser there.
Well, there you go.
So last week, the Federal Reserve hiked interest rates for the fourth time this year. They hiked them 0.75%, which was pretty unprecedented. Mm-hmm. They are trying to battle inflation, which was created by runaway spending and some pretty irresponsible stuff, especially, you know, when we're looking at fuel prices.
Yeah.
And if you look at the headlines, everything's going to get more expensive. The Fed hiked. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about what they hiked.
Yeah.
They hiked the federal funds rate. And the federal funds rate, it's really one of the only things the Federal Reserve can control.
Right.
It's a very short-term rate. It serves as a benchmark for the pricing of savings accounts, CDs, borrowing rates for consumer loans and businesses. But it does also influence prime rate, which many home equity loan accounts are tied to, as well as commercial loans and business loans and things like that. But it doesn't control mortgage rates.
Right.
In fact, and I guess we've talked about this quite a bit, mortgage rates are controlled by the bond market.
Yes.
And the bond market is controlled by
fear.
That's right. Fear of inflation.
Yep.
So when the Fed hikes rates, it means they're battling inflation. They're trying to control that. And by making that effort to cut inflation, it actually benefits the long end of the bond market, which helps mortgage rates. It causes mortgage rates to fall. And that's what happened last week. I don't care what the headlines say. Mm-hmm. Let's just all say it together. A Fed hike will not cause interest rates to rise. Right. Fed hike 0.75%. I can't tell you how many people I talked to last week. It's like, oh man, I missed it. I wanted to lock my rate, but now they're up 0.75%.
I had someone do the same thing. And I was like, oh no.
Didn't happen. Rates dropped last week. So here's the national average for 30-year mortgage rates. And a conventional 30-year fixed rate, 5.22%. That's down 0.47% from the prior week.
Say it again?
They're down 0.47%. What was 5.22.
Yeah.
We were up almost a percent higher mid-June.
Right.
The rates peaked in June.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, I know you and I were talking this last week, too, because I needed some of those numbers for the listings that we have to, like, tell people, like, this is what this looks like now.
Yeah, yeah. 15-year fixed rates, 4.5%. Those are down 0.45 from a week ago.
Yes, they are.
FHA and VA 30-year fixed rates, 4.75. Also down 0.47% from a week ago.
Yep.
Jumbo 30-year fixed rates, 4.6%. Those are down about 0.22 from a week ago. Still everything heading down. 5/1 ARMs, 5.25, higher than a 30-year fixed rate. And those are down about 0.2%. ARMs are going away
at this point. Yeah, we were talking about that last week.
Yeah, last week because the short end of the bond market is inverted. Shorter-term securities are actually paying more than longer-term securities. So why would you want a shorter-term loan? It's paying a higher rate.
Yeah.
There's no incentive to look at that. So it's really, it's just kind of surprising to me how much disinformation is out there and how little people really understand what's going on. In fact, I had another realtor friend of mine text me the other day because I do my weekly update on the markets. And she's like, thank you for spelling that out because nobody gets this.
Yeah. No, I actually had one of my listings because they don't get it. Good on them though, because they did a price adjustment and then offered a buyer bonus.
Yeah.
And I just was kind of like, I'm not going to correct you right now because you're doing the right thing anyway.
The conclusion was correct. Yeah, the reasoning was like...
Yeah, but I was like, you're offering that because the Fed hiked the rates, but that it actually rates went down. Like, you didn't even pay attention to the right item. But okay. Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Hass of Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro Eastside.
And I'm Eric Ozzis here from Homebridge Financial Home Mortgage.
So we are in, let's just say, real estate hot talk.
That's right. Now that's right.
On what people are and are not understanding about what's going on with rates and the market and whether or not we're in a recession. In fact, you and I on the break just started kind of getting into that.
Yes, that's the other big one that's all over the press right now. Are we or are we not in a recession?
Right.
And the popular definition of a recession is that you have two consecutive quarters of declining GDP, gross domestic product. Mm-hmm. But that's not the official definition. And right now there's some efforts afoot to redefine the definition, though, to avoid the uncomfortable conclusion that we are in a recession.
So, okay.
So let's look at a couple things here. First off, here's the facts. GDP in the first quarter declined 1.6%.
Okay.
GDP in the second quarter, we just got these numbers last week, declined 0.9% against a forecast that there, it was going to be up about 0.5%.
Okay.
So... That said, the GDP is a little difficult to calculate just due to the size and complexity of our economy. And there's the initial reporting, and then there are revisions. And we'll have at least two subsequent revisions to this GDP number as the data, you know, kind of coagulates a little bit. So over the coming weeks, that second quarter number is going to change a little bit.
Okay.
So who tells us officially if we're in a recession? The referees. So the referees.
Is that technically their names?
No, the technical name is the National Bureau of Economic Research, ENBER.
Okay.
And ENBER defines a recession as a significant decline in economic activity spread across the economy lasting more than a few months, normally visible in real GDP, real income, employment, industrial production, and wholesale retail sales. In their eyes, the slowdown really has to affect all of the sectors of the economy, not just you know, a few here and there before it's officially a recession.
Okay.
Now, here's the problem, though. They could take up to a year to declare, oh, yeah, we were in a recession back in second quarter, you know, 2022.
Gotcha.
It's always a backward-looking thing.
You know, I wonder... I mentioned this ages ago, but I remember getting in a fight. I was on a date with a guy that I only knew him as a poet, but he had been a former economist.
Oh, yeah.
And we got into a conversation about when we did have the Great Recession, right? That was all housing-based. And it was so funny because he had actually testified in front of Congress and was trying to say that it was like this particular point in 2008. And he and I got into an argument because I was like, well, except for like the lender I work with all the time, we were watching it start in August.
I know the
2007.
Date. It was August 2nd.
I know. You and I have said that numerous times. And that's what I was telling him. And I remember getting into a huge fight.
Yeah.
And then the date ended.
Oh. Wow.
No, it was fine. It was totally fine. It did not need to continue.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of one of those, like, even he, like, as a guy who does that for a living, I was like, I was living through it. You were just tracking it after the fact.
I know,
like we saw it firsthand. Because it was the funniest conversation. I mean, for me, I laugh. I mean, I think that's why he got mad at me because I was laughing. I was just like, no, like you're wrong.
I know a lot of economists and their outlooks on things are heavily weighed upon their political viewpoints.
Yes.
It is economics is a study of politics, and it's also a study of psychology with a lot of math thrown in there.
Right.
But you can take any statistic and just skew it.
Oh, you can totally play with right. stats.
In fact, I even
yeah,
I, there's
that's
a,
one of the dangers of them, and that's one of the things about the headlines. Like you started the whole show. You know, when we actually started talking about real estate and mortgage and all of that, you even said, hey, foreclosure rates are up 50%. And it's like, but pay attention to the total story. Like, that's clickbait.
I know.
And not accurate about what's really happening.
Right.
I mean, bigger picture. It's not a holistic view.
I there's one website I like to look at. It's a goofy economics thing, but it's called Spurious Correlations. And there okay. is a...
Oh, you've instance, said this before.
I mean, there's a direct correlation between the number of people who drown falling into a pool with films that Nicolas Cage appeared in. I mean, you can come up with any kind of correlation you want to come up with. You know, right. if you... dig through the facts and manipulate them enough.
Right.
And yeah. and we are seeing a little bit of that going on right now with the whole, you know, definition of the R word.
Mm-hmm. And we're not talking Reba.
We are not. You know, but the thing is, once people have that R word in their head,
they can't get rid of it.
Well, but that will combat inflation. Because once you feel that we're in a recession, people's spending habits change. They pull back. Businesses pull back.
Yeah.
We're already seeing that. Businesses have
totally.
Curtailed their hiring practices.
Yes.
There's layoffs. Yeah. There may be some yeah. announcements, in fact, this week of a major mortgage lender that is mm-hmm. shutting down offices in Washington State. So as we you know, this R word manifests mm-hmm. itself, you know, in our sort of psyche, people's change their habits.
Yeah.
And in the end, that will put us in a recession.
Right.
Because it slows the economy.
No, 100%. That's true.
And yeah. and what is the goal of the Fed hiking rates? That's their goal.
Yeah.
They have to cause pain to mm-hmm. to combat this inflation because it just got way out of control.
Right.
Anyway, it's crazy town.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Well, so let's shift gears a little bit then.
Yeah.
Right. And let's talk about what does that look like then for our local market?
Mm-hmm.
What is happening?
Right. Well,
because we can talk about it from the because you and I do like to discuss the macro, what's overall affecting.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about that, too, just like from everything, because, you know, I have my pulse just like you do on national conversations and trainings, you know, within the real estate industry and the conversations that we're all having both together as well as where we get our resources from and things like that. But mm-hmm. But I also want to talk about what's happening locally and yep. compare, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things that I really love about our local economy, especially if you compare it to 30 years ago, mm-hmm. it is
diversified.
Very diverse. Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
And historically, the Northwest tends to lag the rest of the country when it comes to mm-hmm. recessions and also when it comes to recoveries. You know, we usually don't go as deep and we mm-hmm. usually don't go as high, although the housing market, you could argue, you know, is one of the hottest in the mm-hmm. in the nation. I suspect we'll see the same thing this time around just because our economy is so diverse. We have a large government sector. They mm-hmm. are immune to recessions.
Right.
We have a lot of academia. We have, you know, not that much manufacturing here. It's more intellectual, you know,
right.
you know
type economy. Taking out things like Boeing, obviously.
Right. Yeah, of
and
course.
PACCAR
yeah,
and
of course.
Like that.
Agriculture, mm-hmm. you know, all of that. So, you know, I think in shipping, I mean, we're a huge mm-hmm. net shipper if we
oh,
can
yeah.
get enough containers out there to be able
right.
to ship some things.
Yeah.
So I don't really think we will go as deep as maybe other parts of the country if indeed we are, you know, going into recession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there could be exceptions, there could be shocks to the economy that nobody can foresee. But I think that we'll probably see things kind of just slow down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about housing, and I've said this before in previous shows, in every recession in the last 70 years, with the exception of 2008-2009,
mm-hmm.
housing prices have remained flat or slightly higher.
Right.
They've not gone down. So we've had 4 bad years out of 70
yeah.
when it comes to the housing market.
Great. And you can't say that about the stock market.
No, you can't.
Not
no.
at all.
No, especially this year.
Which is why we've said for quite a while, real estate is a hedge against inflation.
and right. it always has been.
Yeah.
And that's the other one. I'm kind of cracking up when you turn on the radio, you hear a lot of advertisements for gold.
Yeah.
And commodities like
it's
that.
It's not even just the radio, even on social media, there's, I don't know why she thinks she's the person to talk about it, but a woman I know through music, she's become a little more Insta famous now because she had a couple of goofy videos that went viral. Uh-huh. And she's telling everyone, like, get your money out of the banks, start your own gardens right now, it's coming. Like, she, I'm like, what? Like, who? Mm.
Well,
where did you get this?
I mean,
forum? Teach
their own, but like, you know, okay, gold is a hedge against inflation, mm-hmm. but gold prices aren't really reflecting that right now. And if inflation drops, then the price of gold will drop.
Yeah.
So I'm just not. I mean, I'm no expert on that. I'm really not. But I'm just kind of skeptical about that. I guess I need to read mm-hmm. myself a little bit more on that. But I typically think when I hear advertisements to buy certain investments that. That ship has probably already sailed.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We do see, I still have quite a few customers that are leaving the Northwest. They're, mm-hmm. they're moving elsewhere.
Yep.
I've had clients move to Florida, Texas. We just closed a transaction last week and in Laredo. Mm-hmm. I've got one client right now moving to Billings, Montana.
Yeah. Where Billings is growing like crazy.
$405,000 buys you a 5-bedroom, 3-bath home on 3/4 acre.
Yeah.
You know, looks a very, very nice looking house.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's some great property out there. I have a good friend of mine who's out in the Billings area, mm-hmm. and he's in a kind of a luxury development around a golf course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that development sold like hotcakes. And it was already starting like at the beginning of COVID, and then it like supersized and the prices just shot up like crazy. Like, he bought in one of the townhomes, not even one of the big houses, but he bought a very spacious townhome, luxury. And in the space of a year, he bought it in the 600s, and it was already worth 800 something by the time they were on second phase.
It's a good town.
Yeah.
You know, my clients, one of them got a new job, you know, in Montana working mm-hmm. for a nonprofit there. But the other one is a tele-nurse.
Mm, yeah.
And she can work anywhere.
Yeah.
So she's not even changing jobs. Her job is still Seattle-based. She mm-hmm. gets Seattle-based pay.
Yeah.
You know, but they get this massive house in Montana.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's not a bad deal.
Yeah, the work from home thing has provided a lot of opportunity. In fact, I have a niece who's looking to possibly, you know, connect with some of the tech. She's currently working for Dell, and she's looking to connect with some of the firms out here because she knows she's being kind of underpaid for the quality of work that she does.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants the benefit of living in Kansas where it's a lower cost but working for a bigger tech firm out here. So, because the housing price difference is a big one, but we're going to talk about, you know, housing more on the local perspective when we get back.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes here from Homebridge Financial Home Mortgage.
And I'm Reba Haas from Team Reba.
And Reba, if people want to reach out to you with a question on their house, selling it, buying it, what
value,
it's worth, values,
all of that kind of
any
thing,
of that, how can they reach you?
Well, if they want to send an email to me, they can do that at info@teamreba.com. If it's more private, what it is that you want to chat about, you can send it to me directly at reba@teamreba.com. And if you want to reach out by phone, you can do that at 206-457-2984.
Excellent. And I can be reached. You can reach me anytime. Email eric@ericismybanker.com. That's Eric with a C. You can call me 206-915-3742 or watch me on social media as well. Just search Eric is my banker. You can mm-hmm. subscribe to my weekly updates on interest rates and the economy on YouTube mm-hmm. and also look for me on Facebook. Follow me there.
Yep.
You'll get all those updates.
Yes.
As well as pictures of my gigantic fish.
Okay, that was interesting. Yes, we actually, for the show and then for each of us individually, we both have full social media suite, you know, of everything. Because, like, on Instagram, we're Team Reba Real Estate. We try not to confuse you with all of the channels where you can find us. But if you basically go online and search Open House with Team Reba, you'll find us, or just look up Team Reba or Eric Osnes. I mean, you've got a unique name, and you definitely come up.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. We've been doing this a long time, too, a lot of our content comes up as well.
That's right.
Okay, speaking of content, though, let's get down to the thing that most people want to know, which is what's going on local? What's going on with my house? Because I just got done saying in the last segment, like, are we sad that we're not all driving up, you know, 18 to 25% or more annually right now? But what is happening, right? So, you know, the Market Watch this last week is still showing. In fact, this is what was interesting for me to see as we went into August, because we did talk about the fact that that we have May, June, and July tend to be when we get the most number of listings coming on. But I'm going to tell you, August has continued to stay on fire with listings. And I think it might be a little bit like what you were saying before we went into the break. I think we still have people who are taking advantage of their equity positions and then either doing a move up or moving away or retiring, whatever it is, because August usually is when we start to see a little bit of a quiet period. I'm not even going to try and predict, like oftentimes I can, because the seasonality of real estate in the last 10 years has not followed norms, at least in the Pacific Northwest. Now, seasonally in other parts of the country, you know, where they by weather or seasonality of vacation, you know, second home areas, things like that. You know, I think everyone's in this place of trying to figure out like, what is going to be the next thing, right? Because I'm looking at the numbers right now. The number of new listings was 2350. Can't wait to see your face when I say this.
Okay, I'm writing them down.
And I'll also just say back on market, 328. It's a little bit less of an issue because that's kind of stayed fairly consistent because those are deals that fall apart and people come back on for some reason. Listing price reduced, $2,355.
Oh, same as the new listings.
It just went slightly over.
Okay.
And listing price increased, went way down to 58. Contingent deals stay steady under 200. They're like 128. So we are seeing homes go contingent. It really, I thought I would actually see the contingent number go up during this time.
I'm a bit
period.
Surprised by that, actually.
Yeah, and I think people, because there's so many other options, and I know you and I are going to have these people on the show in a couple of weeks, the Zoom Casa folks. Because there's new ways to tap the equity of your home before moving, I think that's why some of these contingent deals may not be happening this way any longer, but more traditional. Listing pending, $2,796.
Nice. So that tells us that's strong activity.
Yeah, but that's been consistent.
Yeah, it's...
It's been very consistent. Like between 2,300 and 2,800 is a pretty consistent number. And so it's just because we have so many more listings, though.
Right?
Because there's, you know, 5,000 plus listings there.
Right.
So, you know, you don't have as many buyers. The sold numbers, at, you know, 2011, and listings canceled, 537. I'm going to be very curious to see if that number goes up. Because here's one of the things that we're seeing happen. People who haven't quite absorbed the mindset shift that needs to be happening right now, that you need to be prepared to carry your house several months.
Normal.
Yes. A more normalized but still good market. You need to be prepared because, like, one of the, I mentioned the other listing that came back with a buyer bonus, you know, and the whole point was your goal is to retire. This client wants to retire. It's a rental property. They're going to make at least $500,000, even in a worst case scenario. Even if I drop this price another $100,000, they'll still make $500,000 on it.
Yeah.
And so
and they've
I'm
owned
like,
that home for less than 5 years.
Right. And I'm like, the fact that you could have earned on average $100,000 a year for the last 5 years on this house, should still be more than enough, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're having these conversations, and we got into, after the first month, we had this conversation. They said, well, if we don't get it sold by this time, we're going to take it off the market and put it back in the rental pool. And I went, well, so here's the tough conversations that people are going to have to start having. And I think a lot of people out there aren't yet ready to do it. Like, we put thousands of dollars of investment and services into our clients' listings. And I had to tell this client, well, I understand your perspective, but I'm going to tell you, we have a 6-month listing. So if you are going to cancel your listing early because you've gotten nervous and somehow have lost sight of what your goal was in this, you're going to have to repay me for the cost of the services that we just put in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to allow me the full amount of time for the listing agreement to play out, you are going to need to reimburse me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, what? Well, but we didn't understand what the timeline was. And I'm like, you have the contract. You do know what the timeline is. You're getting nervous because, yes, you do have a mortgage, but I also know that they've been cash flowing on that property. So it's like, they're not in a position that this is going to take them under financially.
Mm-hmm.
They have typically higher than usual incomes, lots of other investments. This place sitting for 2 or 3 months is a drop in the bucket for what they're going to earn at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Over $500,000, more like right. 600.
Well, yeah. And everybody's got a different perspective, and,
yeah.
And it's always stressful when you're selling a home, buying a home.
It's more stressful.
One of the most stressful things you can go through in your life.
I say it's actually more stressful when you sell, because you only have one thing. Buyers have choices.
Mm-hmm.
A seller doesn't.
Right. It is a bit tough when you see buyers go through and they're looking at your place and they're like shaking their head and
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's like, yeah. Oh, you know, because not everything appeals to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But a person is proud of their home, proud of what they've done.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So it's a little bit of a gut punch sometimes when you put
An investment. Because like in this one particular case, it was an investment. And so I'm just like, you're not even like emotionally tied to this property. What made me laugh though is when we went to go on market, I had made a point about please don't, and here's the other thing. They also didn't follow the advice. All I can say is if you're listening to this show, please, if you are working with me or another real estate professional, please listen to their advice, because they overpriced to start.
Mm-hmm.
And I practically begged them not to, because we saw the shift in the market happening. And I said, please don't do that. You're going to cut yourself off at the knees. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're in this position of like, oh no. And I'm like, well, you set the stage for this.
Mm-hmm.
So the advice that you can get is imperative that you listen to it and really discuss, you know, what your end goals are.
Wait,
and then stay on track.
Listen to your professionals?
I know it's a silly thought.
I know.
No, we appreciate, you know,
absolutely.
We have to have good communication.
And like we said, all this show, there's lots of different opinions out there, different perspectives.
That's right.
So find
the one
research,
that works
get
for
your
you.
Information, and have a great weekend. And thanks for listening. Listen in next week too.